me Pussy Riot?
No, not in so many words. No, I didn't. I met a haute couture clothes designer up in the Sky Bar, because we were in the Ritz Carlton, which was
I saw the video.
Very nice.
Wait, can I do the intro theme?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Hello.
I wish people could see the fact that you actually get a big shit-eating grin and do jazz hands.
Yeah.
Like, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Yeah. Hello, my ragtime gal.
They can feel it over the airwaves.
Oh, God. Hey, it's Jay Severett.
And Dan Cohen.
Talking into microphone.
It's June 27th. Wait. Yeah? Yep.
Yep. It is.
It's hot out. It's raining.
It's humid.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Quite humid.
It's moist. I know a lot of you ladies don't like that word, but it is. It's moist.
Oh, my girlfriend I had in college, her least favorite two words were moist and delicatessen. And she made a huge mistake by letting me know that.
Oh, I had a friend did the same thing. Andrea Rose. And she told me and Andy Vaughn, and you don't want to tell us this, but she's like, I hate the word moist, I hate the word panties, and I hate the word nipple. So everything after that for 3 years was just moist.
Put my
panty,
nipple in your moist,
moist panties.
Panty
nipples this, and your nipples are panty moist, and just... She was glad to get away from us, I think, and go on with her life.
I'm guessing. So the last time I did a podcast, I don't think you've probably listened to it, although dozens of people have.
I did
a podcast with Matt Blair.
I saw Matt's name on the...
Yep.
Yeah.
We did a podcast in Moscow, in the Ritz-Carlton, the afternoon that we were about to go do two shows, so it was mid two-day trip. And he spent the first 10 minutes or 15 of the podcast explaining his fascination with the bidet in his room. So you need to listen to that. It's really gross.
Yeah.
And
well,
he's an animal. He's an animal.
I used to refer to it as second toilet.
Well, he did too, apparently. So you've been on the road. What have you been doing?
I've been on the road. I went to... went to Washington, D.C., played a show there. This is all part of Bluebird 2014,
Bluebird.
Summer tour. Bluebird, Dan Cohen. And is that me?
I don't know. Your phone's right there.
Right. Washington, D.C., good gig there. Saw a bunch of friends from college.
Yeah.
And it was a great gig, actually. And I was like, oh, shit, the rest of this tour is going to suck. And it kind of did.
Oh, really?
Well, I got to see a lot of friends, but there were after that first show, there were a total of about 14 people, I think, at all three of the other shows.
Wait, are you saying 4.33 people at a show?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, people who paid to be there.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of rough.
I've headlined those shows.
I know.
It's
played some of them with you.
It's really depressing.
Yes. It was very, it's hard. I knew it was going to be hard.
I'm sorry, man.
Because nobody knows who I am, but that's okay. Because, but in Brooklyn.
Did you have to play Bad Things each night?
I didn't play Bad Things at all.
You win. just won life.
I did not play that song. But I played a couple of shows in Manhattan and stayed with Matt Lawson. You remember Matt Lawson?
Yeah.
Good friend. And after one show...
Did you play Rockwood? Is that what it's called?
I did not play Rockwood because they had... There was a spot, but it was like 6 o'clock on a Thursday. And I was like, nah.
Cocktail crowd, no?
No, I don't think so.
No. It's cricket crowd?
Yeah, but everybody... That I played, there was like 8 people at the first show. Well, there were like 20 people at the show, but 8 of them were there to see me.
Right.
And everybody I talked to was like, oh, yeah, man, good show. We'll be happy to have you back. And I was like, really? I thought I just boned this in an amazing way. And they're like, no, it's, oh, look, it's Chris Responte.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. The game on.
Hey.
Where's the fun toy?
How you doing?
Good.
We're joined us.
We're making our podcast.
Mid-cast.
Oh. Well.
Grab a chair.
Pull up a chair, man.
Wow. I don't think there are any. By the way, we're in my home that I am leaving today. I'm moving out. I've packed up tons and tons of boxes. There may be a chair down. You know what, Chris? There's a chair outside. There's a folding chair sitting right out the door. And that other stuff is down in the garage, all piled together. So I'm moving, and so the house is empty. Well, not really. There's furniture all over the house and boxes. But Chris is actually going to use some of my gear while I am in domestic limbo. And so he's coming by to pick that up. Dan and I are going to play a little benefit gig tonight. And Chris is getting ready to get on the bus and go to work. And so right here, man. Wait, you be in the middle. We got Chris Responi on the podcast. This is good.
Wow.
This is a no-brainer.
Such an interloper.
Wow.
Dan just used that word like 10 minutes
really?
Ago.
Really?
Yes.
Interloper is in the air.
Let's see how many times we can sneak it in, but not really feel like we're trying to sneak it in.
All right. That's what I do with the ladies.
He's quite the sexual interloper.
He is.
Ooh.
Ah!
Ding, ding. There you go. I guess that's one for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I should...
All right.
All right. I had to... Sorry about the click. I had to pause to see if it sounded good, and it doesn't. It sounds terrible, just like every week. So, anyway, carry on.
Same thing.
We got Chris here.
Yeah.
Got Chris Responi. Mm-hmm. The man who played the lead guitar solo break on The Bad Things and never plays with me ever now.
I hung my hat on that.
Yeah.
I don't play anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't play anywhere.
And scene.
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, I'm done.
That, you know, that's probably what I should have done, too. As soon as True Blood started, I should have gone to diesel mechanic school and focused.
Well, see, that's why I'm still playing. I don't have anything to hang my hat on yet.
Well, but you always were a dreamer.
I know, that's my thing. Unfortunately, that's become my thing.
Oh, that Dan. He's such a dreamer.
He's a dreamer.
He's a dreamer.
We love it.
Oh, we're all dreamers. Yeah, I actually had dinner with Chris earlier this week, and we discussed that at length about, wow. What are we doing with our lives?
Yeah.
See, now Dan and I have got the podcast to fall back on.
Yeah. Before we had nothing.
Yeah, but now we've got this.
Now we have the podcast.
That is free and has no advertisers and makes no money at all. It's really just a waste of our time and the people that listen to it. So you should think about getting on board.
So this is like bitching officially.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, well, and we don't complain that much, actually, on the podcast. Yeah.
We don't?
Should we? We eviscerate ourselves quite a bit.
Maybe we should start.
Or sharing, officially.
There's a lot of self-aggrandizing, self-deprecation that goes on.
Right. Well, yeah. Dan was just talking about some of his big shows that he just played to 4 to 5 people
yeah.
at a time.
Big people.
Oh, yeah. How did all this stuff
happen? Oh, it was great.
Really?
Not really. But it weighs a while. I went to this party after one of these gigs where 4 people showed up. And then I played for like 25 people who all asked me for my email and wanted to know what was going on with me. So it ended up being like really, really good.
No, where are
See?
We talking about? We're at
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn. See? Where dreams come true.
See?
Yeah.
It's all coming together.
Yes.
Very slowly.
Very slowly, yes.
But you went all over, right? You went...
Like, that was the East Coast run. Now, coming up in a few days is the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Oregon, Seattle, Boise, Denver, Des Moines.
Wow. Des Moines.
Omaha.
Of the monks.
I think that's it. Of the monks, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So you could start using fancy words like runs and legs and...
Yes.
Describing the tour.
Yes, although it is me in a Honda Civic with an Epiphone acoustic guitar.
On the first leg of the tour.
Right. Yes.
On the second run, it will also be him in a Honda Civic with a used Epiphone.
See how that works?
Yeah.
See?
It sounds
good. It totally just destroys all, you know, the first part of that sentence that's not so cool.
Yeah.
See, Chris
wipes it clean.
Chris has been out with, we won't name names of who people are out with, but Chris is out with a large act that tours on multiple buses, and so he's learned a lot of lingo that we've never picked up on because we're usually in a Honda of some sort.
Yeah, there's not a lot of lingo involved in the Honda.
No.
There's no jump seat.
No.
There's no,
there's more like, dude, do we have to listen? There's, like, turn that CD off. Yes. That's about it. That's
there's no front lounge, back lounge.
Well.
Bunk alley.
I mean, that depends.
If you refer, you can sleep in the back seat, at which point it may become a bunk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Where were we? Oh, I was in Spain. This prick. I'm driving from Madrid was it Leogarnas? Leogarnas?
It was some big long drive.
It was like 6 hours in Spain. And I was trying to be economical, so I rented this terrible vehicle that was made out of plastic.
Had the smallest tires.
They were like lawnmower tires. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so anytime you get over like 60, just... So, of course, that's how it was, because I was doing 65.
And we all know that bad cars save you money.
Well, ostensibly because it was light and a diesel. Well, yeah, it did. Yeah. I could have gotten an Audi, but then I would have lost even more money on that tour. But yeah, I'm driving down the highway, he's like, well, it's been a big day. He climbs in the back seat and goes to sleep.
Time to hit the old dusty trail.
Yep.
But that was... No driver's license, Dan.
I was no driver's license.
This is the first podcast you've done where you are a licensed driver.
Yeah, you want to see it?
No. It doesn't really matter when you're going to someplace like Spain.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, because...
Because whenever I break the law...
Mm-hmm. He gets caught.
I get caught. If you didn't get caught, it wouldn't matter. See, this is paper. And when I got pulled over and got a speeding ticket in Virginia...
Did you really?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
I thought you were bullshit.
You had your license for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
God almighty, Cohen.
I cannot...
Here's my driver's license that I printed at the library.
I cannot break the law. Wow. I get caught, and then I have to do the full... maximum penalty offered by the law, no matter what it is.
I'm sure this is legal, but this looks like the most homemade thing you could ever make.
Let me see that.
I mean, except for the fancy scrolling printing around.
It was a Virginia state trooper, too, with the hat and everything. I hand him this, and he's like, what is this? I'm like, that is my driver's license. It is made of paper.
Pre-laminated. Yes. Wow.
He's like, is there any particular reason you're speeding today? I'm like, is there any particular reason anybody's speeding? I mean
I've heard of like...
Well, they're going to send them a new one, I would say.
Yeah, they're sending me an actual...
Is that like the equivalent of like a older person's... when you get your driver's permit?
No, it's just the temporary.
No, they give you this at the DMV when you... But they for some reason, they can't... do a laminated copy just at the place because...
Well, because everybody would be sniffing laminate juice all day. You know, you've been there.
That is... I had not figured
it. You know what's weird on this?
Because laminate comes in juice.
No, when it gets hot, it's like a hot glue gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like sniffing.
I never huffed stuff. I don't know about that. You know more about that than
apparently. Well, I never did either, but,
It sounds like you did.
A couple times. It's
sounding like...
Huffing laminates, the next big thing.
Yeah.
I'm happier than I look in this picture, by the way.
You know what's amazing? This is weird to me. Driver license. That's what it says right here.
Yeah.
I've never said... I guess that's correct, but I've always said driver's license.
Yeah.
And it's driver license.
Yeah, I don't know if
that's
that.
That's grammatically correct, though, isn't it? Huh?
I want the apostrophe S on mine.
You should make a petition.
I was going to go D-R-I-V-E-R-E-S-S, driver's license.
You can just write that in on this copy. I don't think
it's papers. Well, you probably won't get pulled over for another day or two.
No, man, I'm going...
Just use a ballpoint.
I'm not even going over the speed limit by just like 3 or 4 miles an hour anymore. It's just like, fine, okay. I'm going to obey every law, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, I was speeding.
I can't not drive over the speed limit.
Well, everybody drives over the speed limit.
A lot.
Yeah, I know.
I have to drive over the speed limit by a lot, or I will never get there.
In my old age, amongst a lot of things that slow down,
Callous.
I do not drive fast anymore.
Dude, you are the worst driver in the world, and you've never driven fast. You drive like an old lady
but I'm the
with
worst
shitty
slow
eyes.
Yeah. I mean, unless I'm late, which is a lot, but I like long trips and just around town and stuff.
It's back in the day.
35 speed limit? Okay, I'll go 35. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Back in the 90s when I met Chris, there was a lot of drink driving going on, and none of us ever got caught. And it was a miracle. We were in our 20s. We were idiots. We were in bands, and we would play.
Well, in Texas in the 90s was a different time and place.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
We would carry our own PA. I had a big Suburban with a trailer. He had a van with a trailer. And I remember one night, I'm coming down the highway, doing about 70, pulling my trailer. He's in front of me, and as I go to pass him, I turn and look at him. And this drunk bastard is covering one eye with his palm and his hand on the wheel. And I'm calling. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, dude, I'm kind of seeing double, so I have to cover. Just like, you need to pull over. Oh, I'm fine.
It was a different time. It was a different place.
I'm fine. There's just more lanes than usual, and this is my solution, which is working
for me. But, you
know,
kids don't do that at all.
No, it's amazing that none of us went to jail, or even worse, hurt anybody. So yeah.
It is amazing. Well, I went to jail.
I went to jail at one point. I got out of it, but I did. And since I went to jail, I have not been doing any drunk driving.
Me neither. Yeah. But I haven't been doing any drinking either.
That's true.
And then the cop was
I
like,
"I avoid driving."
The
over.
Cop came back to the after he, with the ticket. He's like, "I'm getting a whiff of marijuana here. Have you had any marijuana in the car?" And I'm like, "No." And then in my head, I'm like, "I didn't even really. I'm going to say like to this cop, I didn't even really like marijuana that much when I was drinking. But I don't drink anymore. I've been sober a little over a year. You want to see my coin here? Actually, it was just at an AA meeting the other, and I didn't say any of that.
That's I think not saying stuff is a real skill.
Yeah."
It's something I'm working on.
See, yeah. You should just launch into this just like, really? I don't even like marijuana. You know, it started in high school, and I mean, I was around it, but just over-explaining.
And the whole time you're over-explaining really quickly, be wiping your nose and sniffing a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just never been my thing, you know what I mean? I mean, I like to relax as much as the next guy, but I mean, seriously, it's just not really for me. How long is this going to take, by the way? Because I got to go do a thing down the road. I mean, I got a gig in Manhattan, and I'm sure you wouldn't be in jail right now.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two days after you get your license, you're pulled over for speeding.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got a ticket, Chris?
I don't know. It's been a long time. I've only had about one or two, and actually, I don't know if any of them stuck.
Yeah, I haven't had one since 2004.
Wow. I know I've had
one. Knock on wood. Good God.
Yeah.
I know I've had, well, you know, typical, like, busted for tags are out.
Six bricks of heroin.
Possession. Yeah. You know.
Those kind of things. Yeah.
You know.
Everybody has those.
Hooker in the trunk who hasn't been there. you know, tags and whatnot, but it's usually been the, you know, if you go to the right. Wherever and show whatever you're cool.
So I just go down to wherever and show them whatever and it'll be good.
Yeah.
All right. So then he walks into a Quickie Mart, shows him his junk, goes home and assumes it's all sorted.
I do have this, well, let's see if I can remember the story without being, you know, an idiot. I do remember this one that I got pulled over. It was one of the first times I got pulled over after moving from Texas, where, you know, like we said, it was pretty lax.
It's lawless.
Yeah. It's a lawless, godless country. To Nashville, and I remember I was in my van, and the tags hadn't been changed yet. You know, everybody always pushes.
You stayed Texas forever.
And you always push that whole, like, how long can I get away with, you know, before you change over to the next state, so... Well, I found out. I've probably been in Nashville for a year or so at that point, slid the Texas, you know, stickers and whatnot. Got pulled over for something, and the guy, the policeman, found out and is asking me and about all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, sir. I haven't gotten, you know, the stuff from, and, you know, unfortunately did the whole, haven't got the stuff from my parents yet, you know, use the whole parents' word. That set his ass off. Like, you know, like, oh, you know, parents paying for everything, you know, that kind of stuff. and in which they weren't. So he, you know,
you're trying to throw him an innocent lie.
Yeah, he's not so going for it. So he grabs whatever out of my hand, goes to his car, makes sure I'm not, you know, some kind of killer or whatever, and comes back and throws whatever and, you know, says, get the tags done. It's like, he's like, time to get off your parents' teat, son. And storms off, and then, you know.
It's like, hey, I can't help it. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the definition of musician.
Yeah, if you're not living with, you're not living with or on your parents or your girlfriend or something, you probably can't play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's always been my attitude. Maybe not. Well, so what, tell us about your dates coming up, Ben. Dan Cohen Music. No, God dang it, Dan. Yeah, it's DanCohenMusic.com. Right. I just always want to say .net. DanCohenMusic.com has his dates, but what is they?
Well, we got Austin. We got Fort Worth.
Where at Fort Worth?
Texas. A place called Shaw's Patio. I don't know. That's July 4th.
Oh, could I know that guy.
In the infamous Sundance Square?
I have no idea.
No, Shaw's a guy. He's got a patio. Yeah, I played there.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know Shaw.
Tommy Shaw's patio.
This guy,
from
Shaw.
The band Sticks.
He's got a patio. I'm going to be on his patio
on up
July
on his
4th.
Dick.
It's going to be hotter than shit.
You're playing on July 4th?
Yeah.
Who's playing with you on these dates?
He's just playing with himself.
Actually, I'm going to play with myself. I always do. But I'm going to have a bass player. On that gig, and then the next day in Austin, I'm gonna have my big party show at my friend Stephanie DeStefano's house, the Flamingo Ranch, and now a bass player and a drummer on that one.
But and for then, the most part, you're doing solo acoustic, yeah. Or then with the bass player sometimes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then there's a gig in Phoenix, and there's a gig in a couple of gigs, one in L.A.
Where are you playing in LA?
It's called Amplify. I don't know anything more about it.
Who's booking this stuff?
Me.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I used a great service called Indie on the Move, by the way, to help
me. Indie on the Move.
That's right.
Moving music to you.
Indie on the Move. They basically like help you put your pitch together, and then they send out a shit ton of emails, and then you do the rest of it, and they don't take any... fee, you know, there's no percentage of any of the shows you do. You just pay them like a low flat fee for whatever project you're doing.
That's IndieOnTheMove.com.
That's IndieOnTheMove.com. Thanks, guys.
We're sponsored today by IndieOnTheMove.com. Not really, but we're pretending like it.
And Heller Heating and Plumbing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot better than some other ones that will remain nameless.
You mean like Sonic Bids?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sonic Bids can suck a dick.
I was thinking of another one that starts with A, but that I've used that's not really that well out of it.
Well, you should check out Indie on the Move. IOTM. Anyway. Then Seattle and Portland and Denver, and it's a bunch of coffee houses for the most part. I'm going to be staying with the Simon Alex.
Oh, cool.
In Seattle.
I look forward to all those pictures and posts about that.
Yes, there'll be lots of pictures of babies and other stuff.
I meant from them.
Oh, from them.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yes,
yes. Oh, we got to give a shout out to Dave Harris. Is it Harrison or Harris? Crap, I just folded on his name. Drummer guy
you work with? Harrison? Dave Harrison?
Yeah, Dave Harrison. I ran into Dave Harrison the other night at the basement. I don't know why I want to say Harris. Anyway, he listens to this podcast. He's one of the people that listens to this podcast.
Hi, Dave.
And all-around great dude, great drummer. And he said to say hey to you kids.
From Edwin McCain fame.
Yeah. He was the original drummer in that, played on those records, toured. He actually did a couple of shows with him here just recently. Because he also has another career he does that prohibits him from doing a lot of extensive touring, but he's a great drummer, man. If you ever need a drummer in town, actually, he's a solid, good drummer. Actually, he's worked with Luke Dick quite a bit.
Excellent.
Yeah. Really nice. Good drummer. Great fuel Dick. Player. Great fuel player. And, so saw Rick Brantley and ran into Dave, and he says hi to all the kids. So, hi to all the kids.
Nice.
There you go. That's the end of that story.
Well, that's a good one.
I just wanted to give a shout out to
him. I liked it. Yeah. I liked the beginning and the middle and the end, the whole
thing.
It
kind of petered out a little bit at the end.
No, no, no. That's just you.
My peter's not strong. What?
We all have our peters out, by the way. We're all
yes, we are nude as beef.
I mean,
we're
all,
should we have led with that?
We're probably.
we are wearing shirts. We just don't have anything on.
I walked in the middle of this conversation, so I had to get nude.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, freaking nude as babies when I walked in.
Well, wife beater. We all have a wife beater on.
We said we could wear shirts.
Right. And just have our junk hanging out beneath the shirt.
Yeah, but we're very self-conscious about our torsos.
Right. We're not as young as we used to be, but we look great from the waist down.
Ass, dick, balls. Sure.
Not a problem.
But don't look at my midsection. It's not what it was.
Well, and with the shirt, you can kind of belly up to a table, and if you feel a little bit shy, and then when you get more comfortable, you kind of lean back in your chair and
exactly,
and you know, let everybody know what's up.
You can only suck it in so much while seated. Really,
that's true. But I'm that reminds help. Me of a great game of strip Monopoly I played.
Just you and your brother?
No, it was in college. After college, it was a glass table. If you're going to play strip Monopoly...
I'm asking you, were there any girls involved?
Oh, yeah.
Or was just you and the glee club?
No, no, no. There were several... There was several...
Strip Monopoly.
Yeah. We were nerds. This is what happened when nerds get together and get drunk and try to play strip games. Strip Monopoly.
So just poker was just way too...
You guys were patient, though.
Manly.
Yeah, I know. Well,
Monopoly's a five-hour investment.
It is. And, like, the fun part was, like, making up the rules, like how, under what circumstances are you going to remove clothing?
Right.
So that's what nerds do. It's basically like,
let's turn risk into a drinking game.
Yeah, it was just one, like, iota shy of, you know, strip Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure has been done.
That sounds fun, but it's so much faster to just go ahead and fuck, I find.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry the board game, for one thing. Because look, you feel dorky bringing that into a place.
Hi.
Hey.
I've got my board
games. I would be really suspect of the Dungeon Master. See how I threw that out there? If you're playing strip Dungeons & Dragons. Because the guy's just sitting there with a little pad of paper going, let's see, and you lose, take your shirt off. And, you know, what are you going to say? You can't.
Well, I mean, he's good. Don't you have to roll the dice, sir, when sees what the...
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of room for leeway in that.
Yeah. Oh, the Dungeon Master. As
I've never played Dungeons and Dragons.
I played one time with Matt and Bridget, and I didn't like it. But the Dungeon Master, yes, has quite a bit of power.
I mean, this is...
Well, he's the master.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not just some interloper.
They're not yanking his recess appointments or anything like that. Oh!
Come on, guys. Oh, throw me a bone,
okay? Okay, so 2-1-1. All right, Jace's
leaving. His isn't on tape, though.
No, mine isn't. Yeah, I haven't had it.
We were out on the patio. When he actually just said it in conversation, as did you the first time. I'm really the only guy that scored points. Really.
So
I mean, to be fair.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
So 1-0-0?
I mean, I'm not
zero?
Keeping score, but I'm totally winning right now.
I'd say it's a tie. At best.
It's 1-1-2. How is that a tie? Is this the World Cup or something?
Well, I said 2-1-1, and you said no, his first one didn't count, so I'm like, okay, well then.
So now it's a tie?
To be honest, I checked out about 5-10 minutes. strip Monopoly, I was just like,
it was too much for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
Not really, but
Dan has this dreamy, far away look.
I was just thinking about this pair of breasts. I wasn't interested in what you guys were talking about, so I started thinking about breasts.
From the Monopoli
game, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The
what kind of breasts can you catch?
Probably Schnauzer breasts. You know, the little dog. That's a Schnauzer.
I'm just thinking. What is the quality of breasts in a strip Monopoly game?
If you're in college,
these were high quality breasts, as I recall.
I wonder what they look like now.
I don't know. I'd like to find out, though.
Yeah. You ever watch a movie and realize that most of the people in that movie are dead now?
Yeah.
Or even like watch a movie from like the 90s and think all the dogs in this movie are dead.
I have thought of that, yes.
I have totally
done
that.
What a cute dog. He's dead.
When I don't have enough things to be sad about, I'll just be watching the team. Watching, you know, Andy Griffith or whatever, and there's, yeah, you see like a dog or a cat, and it's like...
Well, shit, that dog's grandkids are dead.
Yeah.
That dog's been dead.
It's like there's no... it's undeniable that dog is dead right now. You know, I don't know anything else about this show.
Dead right now.
Is he?
Did he die?
I don't know. Ron's still going.
Andy, if you're not dead, I apologize. I know you're a big listener. I thought you'd passed recently, so.
I don't know if he is or not.
I thought he died in the last year or two.
Now, Don Knotts sounds right.
Yeah.
Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Howard's still plugging along, though. Of course, he was only like 9 years old in the show.
8 in the show, yeah.
But he looks like 120.
Well, when you're ginger.
No, just in general.
Oh.
When you're ginger and balding, it's.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, it's not good. It's a frightening.
He looks like an Irish golem.
Smeagol.
Mick Smeagol.
So were you going to recap some Moscow? You said you were going to tell some
Moscow. Oh, yeah. Stories. Yeah, we're getting long already. So, Dan was unavailable. Chris was unavailable. Those are actually the two guys that I've worked with the most in my career. And neither one of them love me anymore. So they just go out and do stuff without me.
It's not true.
And I don't see it.
I was unavailable by like one day.
Well, if a frog had wings, bump his ass a hopping.
So you wanted to. Though. So in other words, you had to go and hire some interlopers.
I got some interlopers. I'm gonna give you. Yeah, that's all definitely right. That's all you.
That one just felt forced.
Well, aren't they all going to be forced?
They're all, it's kind of intrinsic to the thing. But, so I hired these three guys, one of whom I had worked with once before on guitar, and then drums and bass, whom I'd never met or worked with. They came over to the house, and we rehearsed, and they knew some of the stuff by the time we got on the plane, pretty much. We flew over. It was a huge shit show as far as like the organization of the thing. I mean, we weren't sure we were going to go like 4 days before we left because there was all this issues with visas and with the money coming through and yada yada yada. But it all came through at the very last minute. So we got on the plane. We flew to Atlanta and to Paris and then to Moscow. Landed about 3 p.m. Moscow time. Got in the car. Went straight to soundcheck. Soundchecked, went to the hotel, and they put us up in the frickin' Ritz-Carlton Moscow, which was insane, right off Red Square. Everybody took a shower and brushed their teeth, changed their clothes, and we went down and we played. They asked us to play like 2 songs. But after soundcheck, the folks were like, man, you guys are really good. I was like, thanks. That's kind of what we do. So they're like,
This is our main job.
Glad you had your doubts.
Exactly. I was like,
bringing us this whole way.
Well, it was funny because we weren't supposed to play that night. He picked us up in the van. He's like, hey, could you maybe play a couple of songs at this event? We'll give you X amount of money. And I was like, oh, sure. Okay. I asked the guys. They're like, yeah, hell yeah. So we went and did it, but we wound up going a little bit longer. But then we spent like an hour signing autographs, taking pictures. It was a big press event for Game of Thrones and True Blood. It was basically HBO Russia that was putting on this big thing.
Did you meet Game of Thrones people?
I did.
Who'd you meet?
The guy who plays Hodor.
Really?
Christian. Super cool guy.
Yeah?
He's from Belfast.
Really?
So we talked about the Eregal Inn. He couldn't believe that we just played the Eregal Inn.
Yeah.
Super sweet guy. And huge. I mean, he's like 6'10".
Wow.
And big. You know, but he got there the next day. The next day we were supposed to do a bunch of press and this red carpet thing for the
red carpet.
Well, it's the International Film Festival, Moscow. Yeah. International Film Festival. So they wanted us to walk the red carpet. So we did, and there's all these people that I don't know who they are. These like so pretty. Some of these Russian girls were so pretty. It was like that's not a real person.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of got the feeling like, I don't know if that's real, any of it.
I've had that experience in Norway as well.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. So we're
like
walking.
They flown them in just for this.
No, they were actresses and stuff. I mean, they were
but
in the films.
They're there. They're in reality, but it doesn't seem right.
They're so pretty, they're actually kind of weird looking, is what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. I mean, like these beautiful, perfect figures in these stunning dresses showing all this leg. And you will glance at their face, and it's just like, ah! But if you really look at their face for like 20 seconds, you start going, Man, I think she's fucked up. I think a really good brother and sister had sex and had a really beautiful, kind of retarded person. There's just some kind of look in their eye where it's too, everything's too symmetrical and it doesn't seem healthy.
Well, that's because...
Well, did you have a good time? Because you're probably never, ever going back.
They don't listen to this.
You people look fucked up.
No, I mean, they're beautiful, but it's still...
Well, the human eye is actually not... The human eye looks for symmetry and appreciates it, but is not used to seeing it.
Right.
Really. Like, true, right. Absolute symmetry in a face is sort of unsettling when you see it.
Oh, yeah, where you have, like, a face... And
it looks like a mirror image, yeah.
It looks weird.
Yeah. Well, it's like they have these cheekbones that, you know, you could cut your steak with. And then, you know, and then hollowed out cheeks and these huge, blue, beautiful eyes, blue, brown, whatever. And you know... I guess they probably have Botox or whatever in their lip because their lips are, you know, big and... It's just kind of... Anyway, it was weird. So we did that thing.
No,
anyway,
you know, it was weird. I know exactly what you're talking about because a lot of plastic surgery... what's the word I'm looking for?
Money.
People who have had it...
Interlopers?
No.
Just one, I was wondering the word he was looking for.
I can't think of it either. Yes, well... But,
devotees? Enthusiasts?
I'm a plastic surgery enthusiast.
Yes! Thank
My husband
you.
Likes sailing, I like Botox.
I'm convinced that plastic surgery, I think it was designed for seeing from about like 15 to 20 feet away, on film, pictures, or whatever, that kind of stuff. Because anytime you get really close to somebody, it's like something is not right in the world with you.
Yeah, I agree.
But then you see them, you know.
As Bill Burr says so brilliantly, don't fuck with your face. There's no shirt for your face. he does a great bit about, like, you can do liposuction, that's fine, you can put a shirt over it if it turns out badly, but there's no shirt for your face, and it's true. Anyway, we did the thing, we did the red carpet, it was a logistical clusterfuck. Then we went and did this after party, they started Hodor, the Christian that plays Hodor, he's a DJ, like he's been doing it for a long, long time. And so he did a DJ set, and it's all, you know, all these beautiful people out there in Gorky Park on the river, but everything was running late. So they started the band over an hour late. And we're playing, we're rocking, and people are digging it. And we're on the last song, and one of the guys that brought us over, I won't mention his name, he knows who he is, and anyway, he's...
You are, like, passively calling people out.
I don't do passive. I'll tell you. Let me finish the story. There's nothing passive about what transpired. He's down on the ground, like, you know, motion us stop, cut it, stop. And I just announced it's the last song, and I was like, I'd get off mic, and I'm like, yeah, it's our last one. And I'm going back to play.
It should have been enough for him.
Well, he keeps going and going.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting more and more emphatic, and I'm like, and I on mic go, I gotcha. We're almost finished. In fact, we would be if you'd quit fucking with me.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps going. And I put my guitar down on my side, and I said, look, motherfucker, you've been fucking with me all day. Quit fucking with me. We're almost done. God damn it. And I turn around, and I cut the band. And so I unplug, and I'm putting my shit down, and he comes running up the stage. And then I hear somebody say something about the cops. Well, what I had not seen was there was four Russian cops off to the side of the stage, ready to pull me and the boys into the Hoosgow, send us off to the gulag for noise ordinance.
And did you go,
no. Once, it takes me a while to get flaccid after I'm up. I mean, I gotta get it all out. So the guy comes up to me. He's like, look, man, it was the cops. I said, look, man, you started me an hour late, so fuck you. It wasn't the cops. It's you. It's your fault. This is all your fault. So fuck you. Don't fuck with me while I'm on stage. And he's like, well, they fucked me, so then I fucked you. And I was like, no, nobody fucked me. No one fucks me.
No one fucks me. I fuck. I do the fucking here.
Exactly. I said if there's going to be any fucking, it'll be me fucking you. So, and these poor three guys in the band, they haven't toured with me, and they're all like, holy shit, we're all going to Russian jail. But it all blew over.
I wish I'd been there.
I had to blow some steam out. Me and the guy, we...
The first few times this happened with Jace, I was aghast, and it was horrifying. It was, but now I find it, I don't know. It's like a show. I mean, it's a show within a show.
Make it part of the show.
Yeah.
Now you feel weird if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Boy, this whole run was really, really flaccid.
If I ever see anything on the schedule that's like a small wine bar in the middle of Ireland, I'm like, yes, that's going to go horribly wrong.
Look, this man, is the scene for future travel.
Look, dude, I'm super nice. Just don't poke me in the chest more than once. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went to the other after party. By the time we got there, me and the dude that I'd been yelling at and he'd been yelling at me, we'd kind of made up. He was still, you know, a little raw or whatever, but we've talked since then. Everything's cool. He understood my point of view. I understood his point of view. And, you know, things happened and it's all worked out. Well,
that's good.
Yeah. So then we went to the next show and did this after party at this club after Christian Hodor did another DJ set, and I was trying to tell the guys, like, here's an idea. Live music first, then DJ.
Yeah.
It's really hard for a real drummer and bass player to compete with dunk, 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 three subwoofers for an hour, but it went fine, man. It was fun. Met a lot of cool people over there, and it was cool to see the Kremlin and St. Basil and Red Square and all that. I mean, it's, you know, growing up in the 80s as an American, you know, you... Seeing all that Soviet stuff, seeing statues of Lenin and Stalin, and it was trippy. Seeing the hammer and sickle still everywhere. I mean, it's not like
80s spy movies.
Yeah,
what's the Cold War?
And it's not like Germany, where like you're not going to see a bunch of swastikas in Germany. You know, it's a huge it's also just a shame thing. They don't even wave their own flag very much. You know, they're very careful about nationalism. But in Russia, there's hammers and sickles everywhere, and I asked one of the guys we were with, I was like, so kind of what's the feeling about Stalin looking back? In retrospect. Yeah. And he unabashedly was like, oh, there was good and bad, but yeah, basically he's a founding father, a real hero. I was like, all right, then. Well, that is a different take.
Well, it's the
on
whole
the guy that killed 20 million of his own people. Yeah. That is a different take.
But, you know, your abusive dad is still your dad, you know.
I guess that's true.
Sure, daddy. He did the best he could.
It's not his fault.
Cold pizza's better than no pizza.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
So it was very interesting, and the people were cool. Some of the food, we had an authentic Russian meal.
I saw some pictures of fat.
Yeah, literally just a plate of different types of fat, and then a gelatin of fat that had fat in it. And
Russians never been known for their cuisine.
Well, as Matt Blair very accurately pointed out, you ever be in a city like New York or L.A. and somebody goes, "Hey, let's go for Russian." No, it doesn't happen. So that is true. But the Russian people were cool, and it was a good time. All right, I'm through shitting on Russia. What else we got? Because we're running long here.
It's long.
Chris, you got any stories to tell real quick? Anything you need want to tell the kids you're doing?
No, not really.
All right.
No.
All right, then.
Well, I can say while you were, you know, clicking it up or whatever in what? Russia, Trip to the Light, fantastic, whatever. I was getting pissed on in West Virginia, so that was fun.
No. Literally?
He's got this weird thing, man. He likes to go to these clubs, and dudes just pee on him. I don't know why he likes it.
Hey, I'm from Kentucky, man. I get that kind of stuff happening in West Virginia. I understand.
I was thinking about you being over there while I was doing an outdoor show on this mountaintop in West Virginia for not that many people.
Well,
yeah, I was thinking about you being over there while I was... playing at Terry's Bar in Philadelphia for 9 people.
Well, you guys can quit thinking about all that shit and just come hang out with me, you know? I mean, obviously I don't pay you, but I mean, it's a good time.
Well, I know, but I'm going to, you know...
You'll have your time.
Yeah.
You'll have your time. All right, go to dancohenmusic.com, go to jserver.com. I'm going to be putting some new dates up on my website within the next week or so. Dan's got dates up on his website for this summer. Chris, do you have a website yet?
TheSidewaysMusic.com.
TheSidewaysMusic.com, that's right, his band with Tim Horsley. They've got a new record that's been out, well, it's been out for 6 or 7 months, but I think it's on the iTunes and all that jazz, isn't it?
Yep.
So go to TheSidewaysMusic.com, and we will see you guys next time on Talking Into Microphones. See ya.